Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Podbirds. No non-pod this week. Phil's just finishing up his tour. I've had a whole bunch of shit. It's been crazy, so what we're going to do is we've decided it's high time that you guys on the main feed here get the second half of Bud Pod Live recorded at the Leicester Square Theatre. It's been exclusive for a long time, a few months, and we're going to dish it out to you, because
we only have your best interests at heart.
To a degree. Let's be frank. Okay. Thank you very much to all the pod buds who came to Leicester Square Theatre last Thursday, who sold it out. 400 seats. Biggest venue I've ever sold out on my own. Very proud. But very, very grateful. Thank you to all you guys who came and cheered, and the people who kojied me in the very streets of Soho, which made me feel like an old school sleaze bag. Yeah, thank you guys. That was great. It was very nice to do that in the same room as Bud Pod Live, which you will be hearing the second half of shortly. Yeah, really, real nice. Real nice. And Phil obviously passes on his thanks to the various Kojis and Pod Buds and so forth from the tour, of which there have been legion. So very nice, thank you. If you missed my Leicester Square Theatre show, because it sold out, we are looking into doing it again in November, late November. So keep your ears flared like horrible trumpets for news of that. And other than that, in terms of stuff for me to plug, poopoolala, the Fringe, really, the Edinburgh Fringe. I've got lots of previews in and around the country, certainly the southeast of England. So if you want to see it before it goes to the Fringe, when it's not ready, I am doing a new show at the Fringe and then touring the old show, because life is too simple, isn't it? And it's good to add things to make it harder, I find. So new show, Edinburgh Fringe, and then in autumn I will be coming near you with the tour. Look at my Instagram. All the details are there in the pinned post. And there's already like extra dates, all kinds of shit, like especially like Brighton, Bristol, Cambridge, my strongholds. So yeah, take a look at that. And then Phil will be back on tour, I think in the autumn as well, actually, with the same show. So, I mean, what an autumn it'll be. The boys will be on the road, crisscrossing the land. Okay, great. Thank you very much, guys, and enjoy the second half of the bonus pod. Koji, have a good week. See you Patreon people on Friday. It's bonus pod 205!
You're in your kitchen at home. Oh, it's nervous. You're nervous today. It's finally come. Come dine with me. You're only on Bloody Come Dine With Me, your favorite TV show. Jewel in the crown of Channel 4's schedule. You've been thinking about what to make the guests are turning up. You've not met them yet. You're the first of the episode. You've been sort of really thinking hard about your menu, what you're going to make for them, but you finally decided. You're pushing the bar out a little bit, but you think it's going to pay off. And the producer goes, behind the camera producer goes, so Podbird, what are you making there? You're pouring arborio rice into a pan. your onions are chopped chunkily at best. I'm making an aubergine risotto, you say. An aubergine risotto, producer goes, wow, it's adventurous. Oh no, you think, adventurous, is that good? Is that bad? You think you overhear the sound guy go, slimy. And you look up at him, but he's like, he acts like he didn't say anything. You're starting to feel a little bit doubt, about your menu. But you go, well, no. Look, it's too late now. I've made my decision. As long as I cook these aubergines right, they're not going to be too slimy. It's a bit out there, but it's never been done before. People will remember this dish, and you continue cooking, pouring in the stock. And what are you going to have for dessert? The director says, "What are you going to have for dessert?" And you go, well, I was thinking, I grew up in the countryside, and I always went around picking berries with the family. But I also really loved Horlicks as a kid, you know. So I thought I'd marry those two together. I'm making a sort of Horlicks compote adorned with wild berries. And there's a sort of pregnant pause as the crew films and records and directs. You don't know how this has gone. And you hear a little sound. You swear the cameraman just went, saccharin. Like that. Sounds a bit sickly. And they go, and what about your entertainment? What about your entertainment tonight? And you go, oh, I just bought a Twister mat. And ding dong. Oh, no. And you go, what? Well, they're here already. And the director goes, oh, shrugs like that, a knowing shrug. Maybe they have. Ding dong. And you go, oh, God. You rub your hands on your apron. You try and finish off the risotto. Oh, the aubergine is starting to look slimy. And you go, you fix your hair, and you waddle over to your front door, and you you smell your breath. And you open the door. Why, hello, thank you for... And there's no one there. Peculiar. Ding dong. What? How are you? You look over at your doorbell on the outside and it's gone, ripped out of the wall. Just two wires poking out. And you go, what the ding dong? It's definitely coming from inside the house. You turn back inside, you close the front door. Ding dong. You follow the sound. Ding dong, this thing is taking you to sort of under the stairs. Ding dong, well, that's the toilet, that's the bathroom. Ding dong, the sound's coming out of the downstairs toilet. Ding dong, and your hands are trembling, you know, they're shaking. and the crew have huddled around you, and the director's like, you got this. He's saying to the cameraman, you got this, right? He's like, yeah, I got it. And ding dong, and you turn the handle and you open the door, and it's Phil and Pierre in your downstairs toilet, and Phil is pressing Pierre's nose. Ding dong. Ding dong. And Pierre looks to you and says, yummy, yummy, dinner time. We've come to dine with you. Welcome to Bonus Paul.
Hey! I have three things to say. One is how funny it was, because some of you have been brought, and some of you may not be patrons. And you may not know that is how we start the bonus pods. And beforehand, Phil was like, should I explain that we start the bonus pod with a mad like intro to the VIP area based on something that came up in the main pod? I was, no, we won't. We'll just go straight in. And we couldn't do El Salvador and Mega Prison because we'd done that
one. We've already done that, obviously.
Obviously, we've done that one. The other two things I like were... I like the fact that the person is called Podbud because it reminds me of the generic name from the old Pokemon Game Boy games.
Mm.
Where like you're talking to a character and it's like, oh, thank God you're here, player one.
Yeah.
And you go, ah, that's what that menu was. I should have put my fucking name in. And I really like slimy. I really like devastating one-word critique of a.
I just love slimy. The idea of sort of like a subtly bitchy film crew.
Yeah.
Who they've seen a lot. They've seen a lot of episodes of Come Dine With Me. Yeah. They have opinions at this point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They know what's going to work and what's not going to work.
Do you think people who film on cooking shows gradually through osmosis absorb really good cooking techniques just because they have to constantly observe and hear about them over and over
again?
Well,
I guess it depends on the cooking show. If it's Come Dine With Me, probably not.
No. They just get ruder and ruder. They get really good at being cutting. Yeah. Slimy. That's good.
Whereas, like, yeah, maybe on MasterChef or something, I pick up a few things. Yeah, I don't know, really. Yeah. I wonder if some, like, cameramen just become extremely skilled at the things. Like, David Attenborough's cameramen are just really good at sort of galloping across tundra. And sort of eating out of hard nuts. And
yeah, foraging.
Yeah, and chasing snakes and... Or escaping snakes, I guess. That's a famous one.
They're really good at capturing moments where animals turn their heads a little bit, like this.
Yeah.
Takes years to nail that. I like that. Would you ever do Come Dine With Me? You're quite a cook.
I like to cook. No, because I'm that level of cook where I don't want to find out I'm actually not that good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm good enough that I have illusions.
Yeah.
But not good enough to know... That illusion could come crashing down at any point.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to put myself to that. Also, the thing about Come Dine With Me, the real challenge is the entertainment bit.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking psychotic. It's no dinner party in the world has ever gone that way.
No. It is weird. It's like they've gone, well, like a normal dinner party. Appetizer, main, dessert, there'll be a cocktail of some kind, and then knife throwing. And then there'll be the part where the host stands up and sings the names of his ancestors and their deeds.
Yeah, because everyone always has a problem with the entertainment.
Yeah, they go, I hated that bit where it was no longer a dinner party.
We had to improvise beat poetry out.
Yeah. I hated that bit at the end where it was shit. Yeah, you were supposed to hate that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a hot take, but it's a medium take.
Oh, this is the other thing. On the bonus pod, we...
we can get spicy.
We indulge in spicier takes than we do on the normal podcast because we feel safer.
Yeah, for the same reason that HBO can show all those floppy dicks and stuff. If you're paying a subscription to watch something, it's a lot harder to complain justifiably. We'd be like, well, I didn't know when I was subscribing to the floppy dick tit drama channel that I'd see some floppy dicks and tits. Whereas if it's on the BBC... then you can say it's a disgrace, actually.
You won't see that. You won't see that on the BBC.
You won't see that on the BBC.
Oh, speaking of...
Well, I'll just say my medium take before your actual take.
Oh, okay, you take your medium take. Okay. Sure.
My medium take is, initially, has anyone here watched the Stanley Tucci show where he just sort of wanders around Italy tasting things? Yes. All sexy, bald food guy. All the sexiest food guys are bald. Anyway...
Hmm. Is that true?
Yeah.
Anthony Bourdain? He wasn't bald?
Wasn't he?
No.
I don't know. That's not the take. The take is that initially you watch, you go, Stanley Tucci's job is to drive around Italy just tasting delicious things. So you go, oh, that's a fucking dream job. It's an easy, you know, lucky him.
Yeah.
I disagree. I think it's really difficult.
Because, okay, you go.
This is my spicy take. Because everyone he meets has put their life into their fucking risotto or their custard tart or this one little weird vegetable that they've fricasseed in some way. And it's like their whole life has been put into this and they're famous for it, and that's why Stanley Tucci's there with a full crew, and it's from the BBC, big famous. They've told their whole family, I'm going to be on Stanley
Tucci. That's what they call in Italy.
The BBC.
At the BBC. Yeah.
In Italy.
Which means BBS. BBS.
BBS.
Come on, guys. I've been up here for a long time.
Yeah. You're having water. I'm having Diet Coke. That's why. Anyway, so there's pressure on Stanley Tucci to say the right stuff as he tastes this mouthful of whatever, which for all we know could be fucking awful. You're tasting it like, oh, and it's because there's local piss in it. That's wonderful. And he has to go, oh my God. Well, I can see why that's so special. I mean, wow. And I watched loads of it, and every time he's like, wow. And he's doing all these like Italian gestures to the dish, like, I'm glad we flew out here. This boiled rice is much better than the rice I've had at all the other fabulous restaurants I clearly go to. It's a lot of pressure on his face acting.
Yeah.
How much do you eat?
Yeah, it
is
a lot.
Definitely cold after the ninth take of you sipping and going, does the chef still think you're sincere?
Right.
Do they go, hang on, Stanley, that was the same yum-yum face you pulled on take four?
Yeah, on all the other episodes I've seen.
On the other episodes, you slut.
Yeah.
You were rubbing your stomach when you were going around Granada in Spain. That was the same face you pulled with the prosciutto or whatever. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of pressure on Tucci.
I mean, I guess you could say sort of Tucci's thing he's got going there is a bit of a gilded cage, really, because...
hold on. Sorry. Hang on. Hang on, sorry. Could we stop the recording for a sec? Don't stop the recording. So, wait. Say that, because the people started cheering and I didn't quite hear what you said. It's a what?
It's a gilded cage.
Gilded?
Yeah, cage.
G-I-L.
G-I-L-D-E-D. Gilded. Golden. Like, yeah.
Oh.
Or at least of lace with gold.
So, wait, like when you... So, like a gold-plated cage?
No, like made of gold.
Like made of gold.
As valuable
but that
and
would
precious.
Be good, wouldn't it?
Well, this is a thing. I'm glad you brought that up because yes, it is good, but still, it's a cage, and you are in it.
I'm in it.
You're trapped, which is not good.
Even though I own it and it's made of gold and therefore valuable.
Well, it is sort of valuable in sort of the. In the inherent sense, it is in the absolute sense mm-hmm. of value, of monetary value specifically, mm-hmm. it is valuable mm-hmm. because it's gold, it's solid gold,
uh-huh.
which has a high value, a high price famously for long time has always yes. been very valuable. But, so what use is that value if you're trapped?
If
you're trapped in the cage. Uh-huh. So that's bad. So it's kind of like, it's sort of like, yeah. it's bad, but it's also good. But in a way that it almost doesn't matter.
I'm trapped inside a good thing.
Yeah, I still think you're giving too much on the good. It's mostly bad, I think. It is mostly
to be trapped.
Mostly bad to be trapped.
All right.
So in this situation,
okay.
Stanley Tucci, the gold is all the lovely food and pretty places he gets to go to, but the cage...
He also has to go to them.
He has to go to them. The cage is he has to
go
to them.
Okay.
And he has to pretend each experience is unique
and
really
I
nice.
Think I'm getting it. I'm going
get
to...
It's tough. Right. It's tough. I had to do a course.
a real apology there for people who had to be brought for that. Fuck it out.
Bloody hell.
I cannot tell you how... hard I laughed when, I don't know if you saw on social media, we got a message from a lady saying, what is happening? Who
was
you?
No way.
Was it you? Did you leave the comment saying, I thought I was losing my fucking mind? She's here. I cried laughing for over an hour on my own in my flat, just at how much I could feel for you. Just listening, going, what is this?
Did you not say, I swear you've explained before
yeah.
what a gilded cage is?
You guys didn't get this before, and you've already covered it. And you're like checking to see if your podcast app had downloaded the right one. Well, just the thing you dream of, really.
Your comment was Stanley Tucci's yum-yum face, and I was a risotto chef from some fucking... That was the reaction I dreamt of when I made it. Anyway.
It was very, very satisfying.
Very satisfying. Before your spicy take, shall we do...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to do a favorite of mine and hopefully of you. I like to stand.
Yeah. Feels more formal than I am, more respectful.
Very formal. Please hit the music.
Mm-hmm.
exclusivity. Does anything make you feel as good and important as exclusivity? That light tickle in your belly that says, sure, we're all equal in the eyes of the Lord, but I'm just that little bit better. We believe that special people deserve special opportunities, which is why Lucky Kentucky is proud to offer exclusively to Bud Pod Patreon subscribers our new limited edition whiskey, Jebediah 7. Named after our founder, Jebediah Menelaus, and the seven laborers who died building his first distillery. Jebediah 7 is aged in oak barrels made from the very same oak Jebediah refused to allow to be used for his laborers' coffins. The wood imbues the whiskey with the unmistakable notes of vanilla, hazelnut, and the blood of the families that dared to defy him in their quest to bury their careless, clumsy laborer husbands. Jebediah 7 is aged for a total of 20 years, the same amount of time the lawsuits languished before being thrown out by the Kentucky judicial system, in which Jebediah had many good friends. Good friends in high places. And who better to share a glass of Lucky Kentucky Jebediah 7 than with good friends? High places optional. Jebediah 7, a taste of history, a taste of Kentucky, a taste for those of us who are just that little bit better. I said backstage before we came out here, I said, I think this one might be too dark.
I said, do you want to tell me? And he went, no. That was good. That was good for the patron as well. It's a little spice here. There's whiskey with a bit of spice.
Oh, that's right, exactly.
Yeah,
a little spice, a little spice.
I like the use of the word clumsy. Those and who dared to defy him. It's very funny.
There is something so frightening what's the fucking whiskey though this is based on?
Jack Daniels.
Yeah. There's something kind of sinister about his legend.
It is a sinister. Yeah. The whole sketch is inspired by those massive fucking tube ads where it's like 11 paragraphs and like the history of Jack Daniels loved acorns or whatever. And you go, you're right. And the Jack Daniels was alive in 18.
Yeah.
18. And you're sort of going, for your sake, I hope post 1870. But it wasn't post-1870. Yeah, and they really try and emphasize... The latest ones are not as good as the long semi-historical paragraphs. Now it's just like a picture of a lady with an indefinable drink kind of slightly blurred in front of a keyboard in a club. And it's like, Jack Daniels, drink future good. And you go, right.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well... HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, there's a new one I saw. I don't know if it's tweeted at us or saw it elsewhere, but the Lemsip ad on the tubes.
Oh, yeah?
It says, however you cold. Use Lemsip. However you cold.
However you cold. It's not a thing I'm going to have a cold this weekend, actually.
I'm colding this week. I can't come. I'm colding right now. Ugh. It sounds like you're shedding something. I'm colding.
I'm colding. How do you cold? Well, I like snot, so I tend to...
There's only so many ways you can cold.
And then none of them are choices.
Or charming. None of them are like something you're on an eye cold like this.
I like the one where the mucus comes out of the holes in my face. But my boyfriend likes to shit. But we get on, we make it work.
That's just how we cold.
That's how we cold.
That's just how we cold.
That's how we cold. Absolutely disgusting. I'd rather never have medicine again than talk like that.
I'd rather, like, people employed by Lemsip walked around the tube, snotted in a hand, wiped on my face and went, buy Lemsip.
Yeah.
I'd prefer that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not even exaggerating, I agree. Time for your spicy take.
Oh, my spicy take is about the week's controversy, which is Gary Lineker and the BBC. So, remember? It happened. The crazy thing is that it happened and finished between...
Bud pods.
Between bud pods.
Which it feels like it's been a scandal for 11 months.
Yeah. It's like it was 3 days or something. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But trust the BBC to use those 3 days in the most efficient manner to do the dumbest thing at every single point of the journey.
The BBC is like Mr. Bean. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It's not going to work. It's not going to go well. It's like, no, he's going to find a way to slip in that. And he will. And he did.
I have two kind of spicy-ish takes on this.
Okay.
Everyone knows the story, but Gary Lineker tweeted about Suella Braverman and the small boats policy saying, this is awful, and then someone replied to him, and then Gary Lineker replied to that guy saying, "Is uses language not dissimilar to language used in 1930s Germany, right? And so that's the one that he got really in a lot of trouble for, and then BBC, they blah, 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 and then they said, actually, it's fine, and they went, actually, it's not fine. Yeah. You're fired. And he went, okay, fine. And then everyone else went, I'm Gary Lineker. And...
Yeah.
And then they had no football programming for, like the weekend, which is when football happens, I've heard.
Yeah.
And now they've also... And so now they've had to back down, and they've ensured for themselves the worst of all worlds, as they always do.
Yeah.
Now it has to be said, the BBC is a very big corporation. A lot of, most of it is fantastic. It's the man, it's just badly managed.
It's whoever's in charge of the crises.
Yes.
Everyone else works quite well.
This is my first spicy take, is that the great crisis over the last 6 years in the UK has been a crisis of lack of managerial talent. And it all stems from Brexit. Because Brexit was inherently unserious and incompetent, and it legitimized a generation of unserious, incompetent managers and government.
Punched a hole in reality.
It all trickles down because the government chooses the director general, right?
Yes,
of the BBC, and the chair of the board is, he was a part Tory.
Yeah. They filled it with Tories.
And so that incompetence has trickled down from Brexit. And the Tories are right about trickle down, but it doesn't happen with money, it happens with incompetence. And
and he didn't want to go on Question Time. Come on, this is good stuff. The people of Aberystwyth would clap this, wouldn't they?
But my countering spicy take is that the great crime of one of the shames of how the BBC mishandled this was that it became about what BBC staff and BBC journalists and BBC presenters should and shouldn't say they could have just said, this is fine, this is simple, you're not a journalist, you can say this. And we missed the opportunity to have the interesting conversation, which was that it is undeniably crass to invoke the Nazis at every single possible opportunity, which is what Gary Lineker did and which I think he shouldn't have done. And I think that's a more interesting, nuanced conversation about how liberal people make their points without being crass.
Yes.
And we would miss the opportunity to have that conversation because the BBC was so stupid, where I have this meta, bigger conversation with the more obvious answer that we had to spend 3 days coming back to.
It would be funny, though, if people started, instead of just going Nazi straight away, they went for some of the niche far-right regimes.
I honestly think that, yeah. Bring up Idi Amin or something.
Pinochet, a bit of Pinochet.
Pinochet never gets a look in.
Franco?
It's a pin of shame. It's a pin of shame.
It's a pin of shame.
Frankly, Franco should come up more.
Phil does have puns, but they're all the names of far-right dictators. From.
I like to stir the Pol Pot. What is it? No, okay, we're in Wei territory now. We're in Wei territory.
It would have been we must never be in Wei territory. It'd been very funny. I would have been. I cannot tell you how quickly my monocle would have popped out my eye if I'd seen Gary Lineker start referencing like Idi Amin and stuff on Twitter. I'd be like, Gary. Okay.
Gary.
Not just a ball boy. That's what I call ex-footballers.
You react to that the same way most people react to like someone's glow up.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Stop snapping my fingers.
Come through, Gary, with Idi Amin references.
Come through. Someone's been reading. We're centrists. We haven't watched the football or Drag Race. We don't like anything popular. That's our position.
We only know enough to reference it in relation to more niche things that we do want to talk about.
That we do want to talk about, like Pinochet. That's good. That's too good.
That's my spiciness.
What I like is that your two medium spicy takes are fighting, like you've mixed a sort of a booner and a madras.
Yeah, I'm such a...
They're sort of in conflict, but they create an overall spice.
Isn't it like a madras versus a dal or something, and they sort of cancel each other out?
No, because they're both spicy.
Oh, they're both medium spicy. You're right. Sorry. Yes. Sorry.
You will. If you'd confused curry spice levels like that on Question Time. Yeah. Shoes and glass.
But this is
good.
This is my position. It's like, but what about the more nuanced conversation we could have had? That's always my position.
Immediately you're drowned out by the sound of Nigel Farage armpit farting.
Yeah.
You're immediately just the guy going like, but why don't we study? Like, it's just immediately, you're so quickly bullied out of the conversation.
Yeah, my political position is very much, miss, you forgot to give us homework. That's very much.
You're just the Lisa Simpson of politics. Yeah.
We should do some...
Some VIP correspondence.
VIP correspondence,
VIPC.
Yes.
VIPC.
Can it be done?
Can it be done? The Patreon app is shit. People are afraid to say it.
Spicy
take.
But
it's true. Quick update based off the last BudPod Live from Tom. Hello, I thought you should know that my girlfriend and I were unable to come to BudPod Live because she had norovirus and shit herself. Okay, thank you.
An appropriate reason not to be able to come.
That was the real test all along. That's how Tom and his girlfriend win the BudPod Factory. A real fan would have shit themselves at home.
We burst into his toilet. You brilliant boy. You wonderful boy.
You wonderful boy. Look what you've done. But before that, we were really mean.
You get
I couldn't
nothing.
Come. I shit myself. You got nothing. I hope you guys have seen the old Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or that's another.
It's a great movie, man. It's so
great
good.
Matt, BudPod Live reaction for the last one. 1A, he says, in reaction to the fact that everything you like is something to do with chewing, like hillbilly culture, Kid Rock and wrestling, and 1A of one of his matters he's raising to our attention.
Oh, I see.
One comma A. You're a Philbilly.
Philbilly.
We missed that. Philbilly.
Yes.
You're a Philbilly.
I like Stone Cold Steve Austin, I like Kid Rock, I'm a Philbilly.
You're a Philbilly.
Nice.
He says, I once had an appointment with British Gas because my boiler needed fixing. The man who came to fix it introduced himself as Steve. Only once he'd left and handed me the receipt did I realize his name had been Steve Austin all along.
Wow. Yeah. And when he left, was there like, like glass shattered? And
he said, he stopped my flat being stone cold. I'm so sorry.
Nice. Come through. We stand
I don't
upon
like that.
We stand upon king. Come through.
We stand upon king.
We stand upon king. Accept it. This is the new me.
Oh. Well, a really disgusting thing to say. Mark gets in touch.
Mark, how stark.
Yep. That's a pretty stark the name, rhyme was. Actually.
Yeah, quite stark. Yeah.
Dear Plop Buds, yeah? Founding Farter and longtime patron, love seeing your live episode in Soho. I'm afraid I have to admit to being one of the apparently rare front sleepers you refer to in episode 200.
Sleeps on his front?
Sleeps on his front.
I thought I was sure John Lewis had made these people up.
No. Front sleeper.
Incredible. How does he breathe?
How does he breathe?
He must have a face like a pug at this point.
He must have a dick and balls like a pug's face at the point. Just all smushed. I'm now able to enjoy a variety of sleeping positions. Side, back, front. Are there any others?
Is there like there's not like 45 degree one, is there? I think that'll take too much core strength.
Yeah, you're just planking all night.
Curled up. Fetal, this fetal.
Fetal, this fetal. But in my teenage years, I slept exclusively on my front. Head to the side. Is anyone truly face down, he asks. Well,
still, you still look like you've just been shot.
Yeah. Like you look like the front page of a newspaper in a murder mystery.
Horrible.
Really horrible.
What a thing for your mother to find. In the morning. You must every morning, wakes up. Honey, wake... Ah! Oh, yeah, I forgot. That's just how you sleep.
Every morning, you wake up like the exorcist or like an owl. Morning. I would love to disabuse you of the notion that we're a bunch of psychopaths. But in these teenage years, I found the most comfortable version of this to be where one arm was under my torso. With one hand on my throat.
What?
Hang on.
Oh my god, like an upside down vampire.
Yeah, kind of.
Or like Tutankhamun, but been flipped.
Yeah.
If you flipped Tutankhamun under the side.
With my hand on my throat, yeah. That's like one of those Peruvian sky mummies.
Oh my gosh.
One guy really liked that, that's all I need. One night my arm went to sleep, as I must have been lying on a nerve, and I woke up and, not feeling my arm, thought someone else had their hand on my throat.
I think the most disturbing part of that is someone would strangle you by like squeezing their hand under your armpit.
Like
someone comes in with a black gloves, ha ha, finally gonna get my rip. Ah. He's on his front.
He's concealed his neck somehow.
Ooh,
but also, they want to kill you, but they don't want to wake you. Yeah. That'd be rude.
I want to disturb you.
I'll just quickly strangle you like that. There we go. Excuse me. Like a sort of sleeping baby. I woke up and, not feeling my arm, thought someone else had their hand on my throat. My instinctive brain kicked in and tensed my muscles, causing me to strangle myself in response. So he's like, like Thing from Adam's Family, just.
That's such a funny, unnecessary way to wake up.
Yeah.
That's so funny, man.
Someone woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Well, you have no idea. I've written in once before with other tales of my body acting weirdly, open brackets, the forever boner, close brackets.
Oh!
This is the same mark as the forever boner. And this is now making me question whether or not I'm in fact possessed. Koji, like there's no tomorrow, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
P.S. I tried to get ChatGPT to write me a better intro, since many of your fine correspondents have comprehensively pun-mined your names. Oh. I'm not sure if our role writing the puns is in jeopardy yet. Me, : write me a juvenile pun using Pierre and Phil. ChatGPT. Why did Pierre invite Phil to his French class? Because he wanted to teach Phil how to say wee wee like a true Pierre.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I did get wee into it, which is relevant to
you could sense that the toilet aspect of the podcast.
You're like, well, I feel like this is about Bud Pod.
Yeah, I've mined the entire internet, and I've just noticed a lot of the word poo being associated with these names.
Wee-wee, like a true
Like a true Pierre. Wee-wee and Pierre are both in quotes. You want to say wee-wee, like a true Pierre. Which makes my name seem like some sort of slur or something. But, I don't think the AI is much of a threat to us.
Oh, no, I don't think so. This can't.
You feel safe?
I think I feel safe from this. I mean, we don't know how this goes. You know, we don't know how to do this. So I don't think an AI is going to know.
Yeah. We're smarter than the AI at the moment, and we have no idea what we don't even know what Gilded Cage is. We've got no idea. James Jackson asks for my biltong recommendations. James, Snoggies.
Snoggies.
The delicious meat
of South London.
Of South London. Which is another slightly creepy phrase I didn't think I would say.
I mean, Snoggies is quite... the great comedian John Hastings, Canadian, he always said that moving over here, he found the idea that word snog meant something nice like kiss was crazy. Yeah. It sounded violent and horrible. And he said it sounded like someone... the way he expected it to be used would be like, we're going to take that guy outside and snog him to hell. And I always think of that when I hear the word snog. I was like, it is a horrible word. It's a really horrible word.
It's really, really gross, actually.
Yeah.
I tried to justify my position, and you know this. Here's a hot take. All British children's television is disgusting.
Not the modern stuff,
but the classic stuff.
I like the classic stuff. It's sort of unsettling in a comforting kind of way.
I like that it's unsettling, but as a child, I moved here, and I was just like, what the fuck is this? I had Power Rangers.
Yeah.
You know? Relatively high-budget stuff.
Every British children's show is literally made in a shed.
Yeah.
Every single one by a lone man. By a lone Snagglepuss was just a lone guy. He was like, I'll make a weird cat.
Yeah.
I'll make a weird cat for the kiddies. Yeah. Sorry, darlings, you're going to my shed. You're not working on the cat, are you? Yes. I'm working on the cat.
Well, perhaps we could film it and let the children see.
I'm so glad you said that.
You just go, Britain's weirdest men, an inexhaustible supply of felt and glue.
Yeah.
And just have at it, do what you like.
Yeah.
All British kids' TV is like a Krusty the Clown parody of what Americans think our TV would be like. What's that, Billy the Copper? There are no more bimble buns for the Crimplestunks to eat. And then like a tuba with a crown goes... what is this? Something David Lynch would do.
Yeah, really haunting.
Really horrible.
Well, speaking of haunting, we have to leave you now.
That is haunting.
Yeah. You have to be haunted by our presence until next year. We've run out of time.
We're out of time.
But thank you so much thank for coming. What a coming. Thrill.
And if every single one of you could also buy a ticket to see my stand-up show in this room as well. That would be a great great relief. It's on June 15th.
It's a wonderful show.
In this very room. Thanks,
it's a superb
man.
Show. But guys, thank you so much for coming to
thank
tonight. It's been
much
such a thrill. So
out,
nice
guys.
To see you all. Please give it up for everyone on Leicester Square Theatre.
Yep.
And
give yourselves a round of applause for supporting the podcast all this time / being brought here by your partner.
Yes.
Well done.
Thank you to Avalon for sorting
it
out. And pick it up for Pierre.
Give it up for Phil as well, for Matt Bond.
Koji, everybody! Koji
guys! Koji! Okay, thank you!
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.